Hey everyone, it's Kathy.
And Paul here with Idulting.
We're here to help you navigate the crazy world of adulting.
Because let's be real, it's a wild ride. We'll be dropping tips, sharing stories,
and maybe even spilling some embarrassing secrets along the way.
So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, get ready to laugh, learn, and level up your adulting game. This is Idulting. Don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe, and share this podcast. Head over to idulting.com for more information and to submit questions for us about adulting.
And maybe even pick up some of our new merchandise. And if you know any fellow adults who need some guidance, send them our way.
Hello, everyone. On today's episode, we're going to talk about my newest obsession, leveling up your life on every level. It's been something I've been contemplating for quite a while. It's been tooling around in the old brain box. I just started finally looking into it and taking some action.
We're hoping that this episode helps to level you guys up, give you a better end result. It helps you build a strong foundation, not just I need a fast car or expensive jewelry, actually leveling up your lives.
In some circles, they refer to it differently, like stealth wealth. The book, The Millionaire Next Door, is another good example of where you can find things like this. It's a particular level, and this is my description of it, of how someone presents themselves, acts, what their interests are, that gives off a finished, polished aura, so to speak.
Right. We want you guys to start shifting your focus from instant gratification to long-term growth, where you want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now.
We're hoping each and every one of you out there and all our future listeners, because we're growing at a good rate at this point, are able to have successful and amazing lives. These steps and what we're going to discuss might be part of that. And we're not talking about the traditional play the scratch off, be a bazillionaire. We're talking about things that can and should be done kind of on the cheap. Is that an okay way to say it?
Yeah, just ways for you to get to where you want to be in life, for your lifestyle to be improved.
So the first one that needs to be addressed for everybody is master your financial independence, which sounds like a whopping huge amount of work's got to get done, but it's baby steps.
You guys can't expect someone to look at you as a successful adult if you're still living in your parents' basement and they're paying for your fast food.
Right. And there's steps to that. We've already talked about in previous episodes much of this. We're just going to go over it real quick. The first step to financial independence and literacy is to create a budget for yourself. It's the most crucial step. You have to track where your money's going, because if you don't, you don't even know. All you know is you have more week than you do paycheck.
Make sure your budget is realistic. Leave room for your bills, the things that have to get paid. Leave room for the wants, and leave room for the savings.
We've witnessed in our very own house and our very own lives, budgets being made that you look at and go, that's unlivable. Honestly, I was guilty of making budgets that way myself. I actually had to have a WTF category of my budget because that was the one that wasn't accounted for anywhere. It was a pretty big category. It covered all things like, you know, food.
That's a want.
It's a want. It's not a need. It's a want. Budgeting is important. A system that works for you with that budgeting is important. I will probably more than once bring up the need to start saving early, and that goes with budgeting. Make sure the first item on your budget is pay yourself first. That's savings, because you need to start savings early.
Even if it's a small amount. If you think about it this way, if you save $100 a year and you earn 2% interest, now you have $102. The next year, you save another $100 and you have 2% interest. Now that's 2% on top of the 100 from that year and the 102 from the year before. It's called compounding interest. It means let your money make money.
Real life example of me doing it wrong. We had a product back at the firehouse that would be additional savings to our pension. I was fairly good. I started with it inside the first 5 years. But when I say started, I was only putting a minimal amount away. I never maximized the benefit of it. And at the end of my career, I had a decent amount in that account. But one night, now that I'm retired and looking back on it, I did a little paper towel math and realized, had I started early and maximized it, that I'd be living a whole different life right now. We carried that message forward, and our oldest has kind of taken heed to it. I don't know her numbers, but I do know that she's maxing the benefit programs at her current job and has been for the last few jobs. So she's going to have a different retirement picture than we do. And that was all because she started saving early.
Understand and manage credit. I know we have said that your credit score is kind of like a grade, but it's not actually a grade. It affects you because it's a tool. It helps you as an adult get better rates, interest rates on loans and credit cards, and applying for loans, they're easier when you have a better credit score. So make sure you guys go out there and research and learn about credit.
Another important part that goes with starting your savings early, make sure you have an emergency fund. We just had a real life example of it that cost one of our children almost $1,000. If you're out there listening, what do you do if suddenly you have to spend $1,000? Do you have it? Are you going to put on your credit card and then pay for it for 30 years?
No. So when we say put your savings away, I always tell my kids, build your emergency fund first so that it's there. It's your fallback. If you're working every week getting a paycheck and don't have any money put aside for the what ifs, the what if my car breaks down, the what if somebody needs money for something, the what ifs.
It's not a matter of if you're going to need an emergency fund. It's a matter of when you're going to need it. And it does definitely decrease anxiety knowing that you have it. That was the first important point, was master your financial independence and literacy. Now let's talk about the second big point here, which is more investment, but it's different. It's investing in yourselves. Become lifelong learners. First and foremost, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, or who you're interacting with, always be kind, nice, and practice proper etiquette. That's saying please, thank you, excuse me, holding the doors, getting to know people's names. Affluent people, successful people, these polished, finished people, when they meet people, no matter what level they are, they treat them more like collaborators than people that work for them or are doing something for them. That team mentality, when they're practicing their etiquette and starting to build their networks, goes a very long way.
Put some effort into your dress. Take the time to press your clothes, to show effort with your appearance. Spend a little bit of money, maybe a little more than you're comfortable with, on a few really good pieces. Something that'll look good and last a really long time. Quality clothing does last longer. So buy yourself a good pair of shoes or a nice overcoat, a nice watch, or a pair of earrings you can wear every day. Something that will finish your look.
It doesn't have to be a super expensive watch or earrings. It just has to be nice and tasteful that gives you that polished finish look. None of the things we're talking about are we saying go out and put out money you don't have on. I can tell you that upping that effort a little bit in your appearance has measurable results. From a personal experience, I've become aware in this little quest of mine, this mini quest I'm on, that I can see people walking and just literally the way they're dressed without even knowing the person, get an entirely different vibe off someone who has that polished, finished, well put together, classic styling.
Right. And we're not saying spend a tremendous amount of money. But if you plan on buying, I don't know, a few pairs of shoes this year, maybe buy one, make it stretch and save the money so that you can buy another really good pair of shoes that you're proud to wear and that you can go to work in, and people get the distinct feeling that you're putting in an effort.
And don't feel like you have to go to the top shelf stores. There's other places.
Oh, there are some great places. You can find some beautiful clothing from very well-to-do manufacturers and designers at thrift stores and stores that are discount stores of a bigger version of that store.
And it's literally fractions on the dollar. It's dimes on the dollar at those places. So don't feel like you're stuck when you're doing that. Next would be, do the finished polished hygiene things. Clean your nails, complete your makeup and style your hair. This doesn't mean you have to put together yourself like you're going out to some big fancy event every day, but you should put yourself together every day. I just actually, and I'm a little embarrassed to know this, guys, I'm 54. I had to use YouTube to find out nail hygiene, like the right way.
Right, but not nail hygiene. It's not like your hands were dirty. You wanted to know what somebody who worked in an office would do as far as manicure or nail maintenance.
Right, like how to get that finished look. YouTube did have plenty of good videos on it.
Now, you guys are going to want to prioritize skills over stuff. I know stuff is fun and it's exciting and it gives you that instant, quick, oh yay, I got this and it's great. But you should really spend your money on learning new skills rather than material possessions. Whether it's a coding class or a public speaking course or certificate in your field, these investments, they have a high rate of return. They will help you for a very long time in your life.
Right, because you can never have the knowledge you gain in those classes and certifications taken. No matter where you go in your next job, your next endeavor, your next adventure, what you learned in that last one goes with you. It's important to read more. We all spend time in today's world doom scrolling, streaming service, binge watching. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I'm not saying you don't ever do it. What I am saying is maybe we should take a couple minutes, carve it out of that, and actually read some more things. Read books on personal finance, biographies of successful people, and books in their professional field are all a great place to start. No matter what you read when you're talking about a nonfiction arena, you're going to start picking up things about people's lives, and they may have gems and little tricks that help you avoid the traps of life. So reading more is highly suggested.
And network strategically. You should start viewing networking not as a transaction, but as an opportunity. It's going to help you build genuine relationships with people who can offer advice, mentorship, and new perspectives. Could you imagine if you idolized someone and had the opportunity to meet them and network with them? They in turn remembered you because you had something great from a book that you read to talk about.
Absolutely. For example, when Joe Rogan guests on our show, that's going to be a big moment and our networking is going to have reached a whole new level. So you want to do some culture things. What that means is some deeper thinking things, some live things. Things that help your conversations be deeper, more meaningful. Go to a show. Visit a museum. Go to a historic site. Grab a book off the bestseller list. What you want is those things to make conversations easier and more interesting when you're around the people in this new network you're building so that you can make connections deeper.
And so that they can remember you. If you have something interesting to say in a conversation, people remember you.
The third major point in leveling up here is we all need to prioritize our health. Affluent people, finished people, wealthy people, this is a very high priority for them. And yes, maybe they have a little more free time or a little more resources to have the fancy country club sport membership or something. But health and taking care of yourself doesn't have to cost a lot. And there's some pretty easy steps. Prioritize your sleep. I say that all the time. 7 to 9 hours of sleep opportunity per day needs to be safeguarded. It's so important that you should start building your schedule based around that. What'll happen is once you get that built in, you'll start having better focus, better mood, and better overall health. It is one of the true pillars of health. Prioritize your sleep.
Fuel your bodies. Learn basic cooking skills. Cooking is not only cheaper, but it's also a cornerstone for a healthy lifestyle. When you're making the food, you know what you're putting in it.
Could that be a networking opportunity also? Learning those basic cooking skills? Wouldn't it be possible to go to a class at, say, a community college and meet other people interested in learning the same stuff? Next point, make fitness a habit. This takes a little while. Took me roughly 35 years to get back into. I suggest finding a form of exercise that you enjoy. Well, it's hiking, dancing, lifting weights, pickleball. We're almost nearly semi-pros.
No, we're not. We're terrible, but we really enjoy it.
We're kind of a big deal. Next point is to cultivate a strong mindset.
Practice self-leadership. Become the CEO of your own life. This means taking ownership of your decisions, your time, and your actions. Mistakes are normal. Just own them.
Embrace discomfort. Growth happens outside your comfort zone. You got to go outside the comfort zone to take on new challenges, learn from your mistakes, and embrace setbacks as learning opportunities. Another way to say this, way that you might understand more, is embrace the suck. Soon as you can start finding being in the middle of that suck enjoyable, your comfort zone has grown exponentially. And then you know what you do? You find more suck.
And just because things don't go your way or you have a few mistakes or missteps here and there, it's not a failure if you're learning from it. It's an opportunity to improve yourself.
I firmly believe the only way it's a failure is if you quit. Focus on gratitude. Personally, I do that first thing every morning, even before I'm out of bed. I think of 5 things every morning, and I try to make them different things so it's not just a list. If you practice it daily, you can write down 3 things. You can think 5 things. It's a simple habit that's going to help you appreciate what you have. And by doing it first thing in the morning, I find that it helps me change my outlook on life a little. Because I'm going to be honest here. Sometimes adulting, it just doesn't feel so good. But gratitude makes it a little less suck.
Right. And if you're grateful for the good things in your life, you know, a roof over your head, food in your stomach, a bed to sleep on. If you truly appreciate those things and you focus on the good, there's no way to not start your day off good.
It works, guys. Just give it a try. Say for 90 days. Every morning, either write down or think of 5 things or 3 things that you're grateful for and focus on them. You'll also find that changes the way you look at things. In other talks, I might say that enables the law of attraction. It's confirmation bias. You know how when you're looking at a car, you want a blue Toyota and suddenly you see all sorts of blue Toyotas? That's what happens when you start looking at the good things. Develop an internal locus of control. Become unshakable. I'm going to quote my neighbor here. We were discussing something that he might get in trouble for. And when I said you might get in trouble for that, he said, for that to happen, I would have to care. It was actually a beautiful summation of an internal locus of control. So what that is you believe in yourself and your efforts, and you're kind of immune to the rest of the world and what they're thinking. So haters are going to hate. Just keep doing your thing. But what it does is it helps you with your decisions and abilities. They become your primary drivers of what happens in your life. You see yourself as the main actor or agent of change in your own story. You're your own hero. People with internal locus of control very rarely are blaming somebody else for something. What they're doing is understanding many situations they can't change, but they can absolutely control how they respond to them.
Now, the 5th main point is to build a community. Choose your friends wisely. Surround yourself with people who inspire you and uplift you. Remember that your social circle has a huge impact on your mindset and on your success. Meaning, if you surround yourself with people that are breaking the law, going to jail, always drunk or high, that's who you'll become associated with, and that's the level your life will stay at. I'm hoping that all of you don't want to be that person.
There's a saying that comes to mind that I see occasionally in my socials. I'd rather be the oldest guy in the gym than the youngest guy in the nursing home. And that's what I think of when I'm thinking about friends. I want the friends that are going to lift me up and inspire me. So giving back and service to others is huge in leveling up your life. You want to volunteer for a cause you care about. It's both a networking opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve other people. It helps other people. but it can provide a sense of purpose and fulfillment to you in a kind of dark world right now. There's a lot going on, and it's hard to take the hits every day, watching the news, listening to the news, seeing the events, and giving back. It's kind of like a ray of hope in somebody's life that you're helping provide.
Maintain family connections. I know not everyone has a great family dynamic, but just remember, strong family connections, they can be a source of support and a source of advice and guidance. And if you need something, family's usually there to give it to you.
So this one's a fun one, given to us directly from Grant Cardone. It's make extroverting an action word. We're going to make it a friend-finding game for the purpose of this podcast. So what can you do to do that? First, let me define what that is in case you don't know. Extroverting is someone who is an introvert, inherently an introvert. And that what that means is you kind of want to stay to yourself. Kind of, I don't want to say loner because that used to have a bad connotation. But you want to kind of be left alone to yourself. You're perfectly happy being alone. An extrovert is someone who goes out and interacts with people. And those two personality types are
opposites,
sort of, but they're complementary too. So when we say make extroverting a friend-finding game, what we're aiming at is for anyone to do these things to increase their ability to communicate with other people. And some examples would be the compliment giver. Compliment a stranger on their shoes, their outfit, their car, their conduct. You'd be surprised. One, if you're truly an introvert, it's a little bit difficult to do. And two, you might be a good thing for that person on that day. They could be having a bad day and suddenly you've brightened it for them.
The conversationalist. So ask a stranger for a recommendation. I know it's hard to walk up to a stranger and start talking. But if you just ask them, what's the best coffee around here? Or if you're in a store and you say, did you see any deals? Anything that can start a conversation that's not personal.
Now, that conversationalist can be carried to a different level. If you happen to be an idult and you have a pre-idult, in social settings, you can play what's called the question game with them. You would tell your son or daughter at a party or something like that to go ask somebody else at the party that they don't know, three questions would be another way to do it. By doing it at that young age, they're extroverting at an early age, so it becomes more comfortable when they start hitting the adult and the teenage and adult years. The networker is our next challenge. Get a social media handle or phone number from a new connection.
Or you can do these in groups. If you're that uncomfortable, there are some challenges that you can do in pairs or groups.
You could be the wingman, and that would help another solo person that's doing this do one of those other things.
Or you could be the social butterfly. Get a group of three or more people from three different social circles and get them all to hang out together.
The event planner. Organize a group activity and invite at least one new person to it. Come on, who didn't like planning parties when they were younger?
You could be the barista's bestie. Be recognized by name by a barista or a bartender. That means you'd have to talk to the person that's getting you your coffee and interact, give them your name, get their name, so that the next time you're in there, you can say hello and they remember you and say hello to you by name.
There used to be a show on TV in the Wayback Machine. It wasn't a barista. It was a bartender, but it was a place where everyone knew your name. Reach out at idulting.com. Send me a message and tell me what show you think that one was. You can be a local expert. Give directions to a tourist or even someone that's from the area but doesn't know where something is. It's all about getting out and talking to people.
Leveling up is a journey, not a destination. It's a continuous process of growth, learning, and self-improvement.
So TLDR, if you want to level up your game, your life on every level. You want to master your financial independence and literacy, invest in yourself, prioritize your health, cultivate a strong mindset, and build a community around you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you in the next episode.
Just remember, you've got this, adults. Keep your head up, your spirit high, and keep adulting with us. Go forth and conquer the world, or at least your to-do list.
And don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and head over to adulting.com for more information and to connect with us. See you on the next episode. Be safe.